I'd like to know more about Renato Carella myself, said Giovanni Seno, Massimiliano Marchetti's lawyer, during a one-hour break in Casson's closing remarks. I had gone downstairs to take a walk in the Rialto food market and found myself in lockstep with Seno. We started talking. Seno still had his air of cocky confidence, but I could tell he was worried. Casson had built a strong case, and Seno no longer argued that the fire had been caused by negligence. He now claimed that the hapless Marchetti was in the dark about what was going on that night. He did not say the same for Enrico Carella, and he admitted that he had suspicions about Renato Carella. As we spoke, he kept looking around as if to make sure he was not being overheard. Look, he said, I'm going to tell you some things you may not know about how contracting and subcontracting work in Italy. Behind these big contracts, and this is just between you and me, there is almost always favoritism, some politics, and maybe a little bribery. I'm not saying that's what happened in this situation, but it would be unusual if it didn't. The way it works is this. A big company like Argenti wins a contract and then dumps all the work onto subcontractors who do the job as cheaply as possible. The big company doesn't do any of the work themselves. It doesn't send laborers. It does nothing. It gets the contract for, say, 750 million lira, $375,000, and then turns around and hands out jobs to subcontractors for maybe 600 million, $300,000. The company makes a profit without lifting a finger. It goes on all the time, and it's not illegal. Now, in this case, certain people suspect that maybe, just maybe, it was Renato Carella, the lowly foreman, who secretly won the contract for Argenti. How? Maybe he had inside information. Maybe he knew the costs or what other competitors were bidding, but since he wasn't a registered contractor, he couldn't bid for the job himself. So he passes this valuable information to Argenti. Argenti tailors its bid to fit Renato's information and wins the contract. To show their gratitude, they throw some money Renato's way by subcontracting part of the work to a company Renato sets up for his son, a company that, bear in mind, didn't exist before, that had no track record. And then Argenti hires Renato as the foreman. Have I explained myself? Seno leaned a little closer. The way I figure it, Renato Carella, my client's uncle, was the one in control, the one who had the real power. It's not clear to me exactly how. I don't have specific information, but this guy is an operator. Right after the fire, even though he was under suspicion for arson, Renato Carella got another big public subcontract, this one at the arsenal. He took Enrico along on that job, too. But what has this got to do with the Fenice fire? I'm giving you the broad picture. Renato Carella is a man with connections to lots of companies, not just Argenti. I understand, I said. But inside that broad picture, there's some very curious specifics. We know, for instance, that at the time of the fire, the son had debts of 150 million lira, $75,000. Mysteriously, 7 months after the fire, Renato Carella gives him the money to pay off the debts. That's on the record. If he's only a foreman, how can he afford to do that? Where did he get the money? So you think, I said, that the money might have come from whoever paid Carella to set the fire, assuming somebody did? No. Seno raised his hand as if swearing an oath. Don't misunderstand, I'm not saying that. I never said that. You'll have to draw your own conclusions. He looked around again. But here's another curious fact. Renato Carella hired one of the most expensive attorneys in Italy, a guy who works for Prime Minister Berlusconi. No kidding, I said. This was for his own defense, said Seno. And for his son? Nothing. What about his nephew? Even less.